I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Joining us now in studio, we've got Chip Simmons, who is the sheriff for Escambia County. This is 2 weeks in a row, Sheriff, where we have to start off talking about how awesome you are.
Only two?
Yeah, only. Well, you know, first
ratings.
Sheriff to run unelected, unopposed for election.
I'll start that unelected part.
Yeah, unelected, whatever, you know.
How'd he get here?
Welcome back to the show, by the way. Gets a big award the prior week, and then just this last week, he wins the Pioneer Award for the Pace Area Chamber Excellence Awards, or the Pensacola Area Chamber Excellence Awards. So, well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Is this the last one? Because once you get the Pioneer, you're done, right?
I think this is the way they kind of set you, move on to the back there, in the backfield there.
Pace Award Emeritus now, you know. Yeah. Did they give you like a purple blazer like the DeLunas do when you get a Pioneer?
I wish they would. I could
That'd
use some blazers.
Cool. you'd use them in the Blazer Academy,
yeah,
right?
Certainly save some money there.
All right. Let's talk about yesterday. NAS Pensacola had announced that there was some kind of an incident going on the base at lockdown, subsequently opened back up. There was some kind of an unauthorized incursion by a person. We don't have a lot of details, but they worked with you, as is the case, because you're there to help and bolster their ability to respond. So what happened?
Well, I can't speak for NAS. They've already put out their statement, but I can tell you what I can tell you. And that is that there was an individual that I'll say wandered ashore on NAS. I won't tell you where because that's their business. But he claimed to have been in a boat that had capsized, and that's why he was wandering onto their shores.
Okay.
He fled from them, and then sometime later we were about to get out with an individual that fit that description off of Gulf Beach Highway. And when we turned our car around to get out with him, he fled.
Okay.
And so what we did is we set up a perimeter.
By the way, I know people know, but get out with means that you have seen somebody, you're in your car, you're going to get out and confront them, talk to them, and engage them.
Get out
That's
of
just
car
the way you guys
and,
say
and,
it. Okay.
And interact with this individual. It's just, talk to him or interrogate him in some cases. So in this case, he ran.
Where were you when you encountered him?
Off of Gulf Beach Highway.
On the other side of the water.
Right, on the other side.
Right, okay. All right. Interesting story so far.
So now we're trying to think, okay, this guy's missed the description. Let's try to figure out if this is the same person that they had encountered on board the base. We set up a perimeter, had drones up, had dogs up, because it'll be a big wooded area where we were at. And what we did is used our in-car cameras and took a picture of him and a still shot of him, compared that with the individual that they saw on NAS, and confirmed it was the same person. And then we also noticed it was the same person we had gotten out with or had an encounter with the night before.
Okay.
He's also a suspect in a burglary. We believe he's a homeless guy in one of those encampments over there. And so we have identified him. We are working on he has warrants on him for fleeing from our deputies in the past, and also a suspect in a burglary case from February. So I'll give you his name here. Let's see. Joseph Valinsky is his name, born 87. So we're going to be putting a couple more warrants on him, and we again working with NAS police and NAS NCIS.
Yeah,
and we do feel like we've identified the individual.
So he's wanted for other things. Then yesterday morning, he winds up on NAS Pensacola somewhere on the shore. They encounter him. He flees, gets away, gets on a boat. Gets on a kayak. He doesn't swim the water, does he, back to the other side? Like, how did he get across? Was he wet when you got him?
Well, Andrew, if we'd have talked to him, then we'd know that information.
All right. Okay.
No, we don't know. All I know is that our deputy, again, being on the lookout, as we do, and in the area, basically, saw him, turned our car around to get out with him or talk to him, and then he fled into the wood area before we can get out with him.
Okay.
So we knew where he is.
So he's still wanted.
He's still wanted. We'll find him here. We'll probably find him today. We'll have an extra warrant on him today, maybe even a burglary warrant from the investigation from February. We have no reason to believe at this point he's a terrorist threat, even though I'm not a counterterrorism expert.
Sure.
He seems to be an individual that's living out there in the woods.
Well, he just found a nice quiet place where he could rest, you know, where nobody was going to bother him in the woods across the water on this weird island.
Well, he would have had to have gone across the bridge, to your point.
Yeah.
Back across the bridge, wandered across the bridge, I guess, or swam.
Right.
Or taken whatever boat.
Some mechanism, been, right.
You know, canoe of some sort. Because while it's not the longest stretch.
It's not, you know, the most
it's
hidden
not
either.
Now. It's
long,
fast-moving, swift-moving water at times as well.
Yeah. We had what I would describe as a fairly minor, but a burglary vandalism at Olive Baptist Church that you guys dealt with, right?
Well, yeah. First, I just got a text from Todd Thompson, who's over the chamber, and saying, we're not giving you a blazer. Thank you, Andrew. You ruined
that's
it
a little,
for me.
I mean, take that up with Todd. I don't know what the problem is. You know,
I'm on a hat, Todd.
Seems kind of petty, Todd.
Yeah.
Fine.
Can't afford a jacket. Whatever.
You could be the first one. It could be like that they started it with you.
All they got to figure out is the color.
Yeah.
I've got a blue
easy.
One.
Easy. Okay. Yeah, all right. Anyway, So Olive Baptist Church.
Yeah, this guy tries to throw some heavy items through the window at Olive Baptist Church, and obviously we get a call out there, and we end up catching him and arresting him and charging with attempted burglary. We took him to get evaluated as well.
Okay. And then we have what might be described as the most entertaining or weirdest story of the week. I'll let you choose how you want to describe this, but Reese Rutledge, 36-year-old Reese Rutledge, was, he was engaged in what you might describe as serial self-abuse.
We got a call because this individual was at least exposing himself. And there was a mother and there was also a child in a school bus and that sort of thing.
Scary
there.
And bad.
So, and then he was gone from that specific location whenever we got there, but we weren't going to let that go, obviously. We went and found him, positive identified him, and lo and behold, he also had just gotten out of jail for something, for a similar offense, in which he was doing that same manipulation inside another store. And so
a Dunkin' Donuts.
A Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. And so we charged him with a felony, and our hope is that he is incarcerated for as long as the judge can possibly do it, because, listen, once is too many, you know, once, twice, two times certainly is too many. And as I understand it, he has a rather long, extensive criminal history, and I think that he needs, A, to go to jail, to prison for a while, and, B, he needs some evaluation.
Well, and the most recent incident was just, 11 days after he'd been released for the Dunkin' Donuts incident. So,
and that's just the ones that were reported.
Right. That's what you know of, and that's what you've caught for or charged with, right? So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm 10 inside. it's funny, but it's also a real serious problem because it's weird, it's disgusting, and people with kids and moms and families. And this was, this one incident was by a school bus, stop.
Yeah.
You have it's funny until it's really not funny, because people do horrible things. And so I agree with you. I'm glad. Do you, to a degree, this comes in the context of, people who do things over and over of various kinds, and you feel like there's nothing you can do except continually arresting them. I know this is always an issue. You know, I've talked about this many times, but, is this a case where you feel like, sort of the system hasn't upheld its end of the bargain of protecting the citizens from somebody who clearly is unable to, stop themselves from bad behavior?
I don't think that mental illness is something that would be new to people. If I say, hey, a lot of the homeless population appears to be mentally ill, I don't think many people would be disturbed at that or surprised. And so we deal with this a lot. And I know I talked a lot about whenever I was chief corrections officer that 2/3 of people that were in the infirmary were there because of mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important for us to understand what needs to be done here. Now, law enforcement traditionally is, you did the crime, you're going to go to jail, period. We're not mental health counselors. We're not the people that can decide you go to a state mental facility or you go to a local facility or a step-down facility. We're not the ones that decide that. However, we are the ones that always get the call.
Yeah.
We are the ones that have to deal with quite frankly, everything. And we have to make decisions on this and Baker Act or whether we just arrest them and then let the court decide whether they're competent to stand trial. And you've heard over the time, we had the individual that shot up, or one of our deputies shot him 5 or 6 times, and he was going to get out of jail because he was mentally incompetent at the time, they say. And I was upset about that yeah. ordeal, right? And so there's other cases like that where people hurt somebody, and yet for some reason they're allowed to just come back out and in some capacity into our community. So my point is something does need to be done, and it's not cheap. It's not a cheap resolution to this thing, because their mental health is an experience expensive, just like other medical type
it
of
is, yeah.
Procedures are. So where do we go from here? Is it a law enforcement issue? It certainly seems to be more
and
more.
You're the one who gets the call, yeah.
Issue, and then we have to evaluate them. But I still think that there should be some funding, perhaps, or some movement towards what do we do in this meantime? Do we need more beds in the state facility? I absolutely think we do need more beds in the state mental health facility. Is there opportunities in the jail? I don't know what they have in the jail at this point. We used to have a lot of mental health counselors and doctors over there. And I'm assuming they still have those things. I'm pretty sure that they do. Is that enough? I don't know. It just seems like we continuously contact people. We continuously have to deal with people that have mental illness. So much so that we have our own mental
right.
health unit,
right?
A co-responding unit. And it's working very well. I talked to them. I know you're probably ready to go to break.
I'm listening.
Talking
it's
up
good.
A storm here. But
people need to hear this because it's a big problem in our society.
Yeah, in 1 month, the mental health unit responded to 200 calls. And these are 200 calls that our deputies that are assigned to routine patrol would have been going to. So there's certainly a need for this. And if I can, I'll probably enhance that. And because, again, we're taking a lot of these calls away from the deputies. Some of them are proactive. Some of those are accepting calls that would go to, a deputy that's assigned to uniform patrol.
Last quick thing before I let you go, only because we are engaged in war with Iran right now, and the natural concern that people have is about terroristic threats or, sympathetic. It doesn't have to be some sleeper cell. It could be whatever, like, we may have seen in Texas. And I know you may not always be able to say everything that you do know, but is there anything you do know that you can tell us about, FBI briefings, anything that's to what degree we should be concerned here at home about the impact of what's going on over there?
Well, I think to say that everyone's on a heightened sense of alert is probably not saying enough.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that we have had numerous conversations just yesterday alone with our intelligence partners. And if there's something that we feel like is a concern, we're certainly going to take it serious. We're asking people, not just if you see something, but if you hear something as well, to say something to us. We can get that information to the proper authorities and do what we need to do to make sure that our community is safe.
By the way, on that note, I was at home last night prepping the show, and I heard bang, 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 bang in near my home, and I called it in because that's what you told me to do, call it in. I didn't want it to be it was clearly gunfire. And I didn't want it to be the gunfire incident that nobody called in, because you don't have ShotSpotter in my neighborhood, So I wanted to at least tell it. And, the deputy who did a great job, a non-emergency number I called. Right. And he's like, do you want your name? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll give it if you need
just
it.
Just check and make sure.
I just want to make sure. The sheriff tells me to call you, so I called you,
And I hear it in my house as well.
Yeah.
And I listen, and then I wait, and I listen a little bit more. And it's like, was that a shotgun?
Because the guy asked me, is there screams? Is there anything else? I'm like, no, and it's kind of to the south, and I don't really know. But
is there yelling associated with it?
Right. Yeah. And it was pretty close. It's funny. Before I called, as I was on the phone with your desk deputy or whatever, my wife had gotten a text from the neighbor. She's like, did you hear that? And I'm like, that's how things work.
Ringing doorbell thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Same thing. It's like, have you anyone heard that? And because we live near a roadway, a major roadway, a relatively major roadway. And a lot of times cars are backfiring and it's loud and, we just wait and see.
Yeah. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate the work keeping us all safe and informed. Congratulations again on the Pioneer Award, even if you don't get a jacket. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
No, thank you.